Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today, and you're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vestris Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. And let's get the show started today. And today we're going to talk about the best real estate advice. And we're even going to get into a little bit about how you got started.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Can you believe it's been a year since we've started Real Estate with Mariah and Spence?
It goes by pretty quick, especially with a kid,
really
too.
Fast.
But you guys don't look a day older.
Oh, really?
Neither do you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I shaved my face this week. So.
You look younger to me.
I rarely have a bare face like that.
You look younger. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So like Warren said, we have some of the best real estate advice from 2021 that we're going to talk about today. And then we're also going to get into a little bit more of like a fun, in honor of our 1 year anniversary of Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. So on our first episode, we talked a little bit about just kind of like getting to know us and our background in real estate. And so it's really been a year since we've done a show like that, though. So we're going to talk a little bit about our background in real estate and kind of more fun, personal type thing. So it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
Okay. So to start us off, we have from Realtor.com an article that is titled "The Best Real Estate Advice of 2021. So these are things that you're going to want to carry into the new year. So let's see how good they claim it's the best. We'll see. So we picked three of them. Okay, so this first best piece of real estate advice from this year is for homeowners, and that is the secret is maintaining instead of repairing. Make your life easier by keeping a running list of preventative monthly maintenance tasks, such as cleaning your HVAC filter and checking your foundation for leaks. That's for geared toward homeowners.
That's so good, though, because
I
couldn't tell you the amount of times I've walked into homes and sellers give me their set price of what they think they should sell their home for, or what they believe their home is worth. And I always ask them why, you know, and they give me their explanations. But my job as a professional is to not puff or just kind of go along with it. It's to be that real estate professional to give you that real advice in a calm and nice manner, of course, and respectful, because you've invited me in your home. So I have to understand that. But at the same time, we have to understand if we don't maintain our home, a few things can go very badly, and it's like a trickle effect. It's like running your car, you know, if you got that check engine light, one thing leads to the next, especially nowadays with everything being very electrical. So a furnace, for instance, you know, a lot of people I've seen literally their furnace goes out, they switch to electric space heaters. And they just do that type of thing.
Oh, wow.
And
just like
so,
the lazy
repair. Yeah, the lazy repair, I guess you could call it.
It's easy for now, but then your future self is going to be annoyed when you...
Yes.
You know, it's so easy for your home to just build up, and pretty soon before you know it, you have like five things plus going that are wrong with your home, and it's so much easier to just live in a preventative way where you're taking care of it and not getting to the point where all of a sudden you have to fix like so many things at once.
Yeah, and ultimately not doing these repairs does have effects on your home value. It really does.
It really does.
Because in your inspection report that's received back from the buyer, you're going to have that repair list. And it just keeps going and going and going. A biggie that I think a lot of people forget about is the dry rot that comes on the exterior of homes. I've seen it terribly with cedar siding that were built, you know, in the 70s of in that era. And these sellers, you know, they've just let it go. And it's not necessarily affecting the inside of the home, but it's completely rotting to the point where it needs to be replaced. And it's causing major issues. Another biggie is like the back decks and stuff when they're not.
Bathrooms.
Yeah. So
there's so many things.
There's a lot of things. And so it's easily overlooked, though. We've mentioned it in previous shows, is when you're living in a property, it's really easy to overlook.
Yeah. Some, you just get used to it.
Some items, yeah. Uh-huh. You just get used to it.
It happens all the time. And mm-hmm. these, I mean, they might seem minor to you, but these things that are cosmetic that, you know, make your home, they just make it look more run down. And yeah. buyers truly, truly assume that, you know, there's something wrong with it underneath that they can't see if it doesn't look good, that good cosmetically. So mm-hmm. definitely just take care of your home.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
The biggies. Take yes. care of the biggies.
Yes.
If it goes out, just get it fixed or replaced.
Yeah. Okay. So this next best real estate advice from 2021 is backyard design rule from 2021. Formal outdoor spaces of yesteryear are out. What's in are natural lived-in yards.
This
I found
is a
this
topic.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love
and,
this.
And, you know, they get their information, like Realtor.com, they have a lot of data to go off of. They're not just guessing or making this up. Like, they actually have a lot of data that proves that's how they find their information.
So now, define what a kind of a natural lived-in environment looks like. Would it include, like, a garden in the backyard, things
well,
like that, or what?
I think more of what it's meaning is, like, lower maintenance.
Yeah.
Is, like, instead of, like, super fancy landscaping, people are just wanting easier, you know? And I mean, I love and totally appreciate, like, beautiful landscaping, but I also mm-hmm. just look at it and think either a dollar sign, like, you have to pay someone, or mm-hmm. time, like you doing it yourself. And yeah. I think a lot of the younger generation are thinking that way too. People yeah. are working more, they're busier, and they're just not wanting to spend time on
I think of things
care.
Like roses. Mm-hmm. Roses are beautiful,
they
but
are
if
beautiful.
You're going to take care of them, you've got mm-hmm. a lot of work to
you
take
to
care of them.
Yeah.
Where if
yeah.
you just have some shrubs and yeah. rody bushes, yeah. you can just kind of hack them off a little bit. And
yeah. yeah.
So it comes down to like an old method versus a new method.
Right.
We're
yeah.
here in 2022. Things are even a lot different in 2010 than they are now. I've been to a lot of sellers' properties where all they talk about is their backyard. Oh, I put in this water feature. Oh, I put in this back walking path. And it's only on like, you know, 0.2 of an acre. This is a common residential home with not much real property to it. So I think to make things just easier is to have a turnkey home. It's okay to have a walking path. It's okay to have yeah. that little brick path and stuff like that.
Just lower maintenance,
but
I think is.
Yeah, yeah. but the new Thank method... turning yesterday and today is to make it that lower maintenance turnkey. I've been seeing a lot of people do turf.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
yards.
True.
So, all right, so let me ask this real quick. All right, so if you've got a high maintenance backyard right now,
yeah.
mm-hmm. it's okay to keep it.
Yeah.
But you're probably, when you're thinking about selling, going to say, I would come to you and say, okay, now how do I turn this into a where it's more appealing to everybody, because you can change it back, right?
You can change it back, but also one thing that I hear back is they think their home value has appreciated
oh,
by
yeah.
X amount because of all right. the work they put into their backyard,
okay. right.
which is very hard for us to determine value on because
right.
they look at all the dollars they put into that backyard.
Yeah.
That water feature costed this. This gravel costed this much.
Yeah.
The soil that they brought in for fill or whatever to raise the backyard costed this much. But the hard part is, in reality, the buyer isn't looking at that as a huge asset
right.
Necessarily, unless that is just simple characteristics that flow between the seller and buyer, and they're on the same page with that.
So you don't have people coming to you and saying, we're looking for a house that has this beautiful, high maintenance backyard. You don't have people coming to you and do that, huh?
Not necessarily.
Not like,
often.
I remember that house that we put an offer on that had like the most beautifully landscaped yard. And there was so like, I just wanted to sit out there because it was like
yeah.
so gorgeous. But I also knew at the same time, like if our offer gets accepted and we move in here, it's not going to look like this because we're not going to keep it up like this.
Exactly.
So I think
things
a lot of buyers think like
time.
That. Yeah.
yeah. And hiring a maintenance person to keep it up isn't cheap either. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with Mariah Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. And we'll be back in just a few moments.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. And let's continue our conversation about best real estate advice for 2022. And we're going to learn a little bit about early on with you two.
Okay, so the last best piece of real estate advice to take into the new year with us, according to Realtor.com, is about home remodels. So what they say is white countertops are what is in right now. Ditch dark countertops.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I know when I went to the tour of remodeled homes this summer, and it had like all the latest trends of what everyone's doing right now, and white countertops was pretty much all I saw, and that's kind of what inspired us to go with that on our house that we're remodeling right now. But I personally love dark countertops. I think they're beautiful.
I do too.
But apparently, according to Realtor.com, white countertops
seems like
are
white
in.
Would you know, over time would show stains and
yeah.
show different kinds of things.
Yeah,
and
you would
colored
think.
Would cover all that up. So
uh-huh.
that's strange.
Only uh-huh. time will tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll see if it's like
I'm
a
sure,
flash
I'm sure
trend
someone knows.
Or yeah. yeah. Apparently,
no
white.
No,
white counters.
White's
are
really in.
In
right now. It's hot.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, everybody they like bright. It reminds me yeah. of an LA style home. Our traditional. Construction is different than those styles, but yeah. We're wanting to kind of go white with everything, a little lighter flooring.
Not with the walls, but
we're getting away from those gray tones.
Yeah,
and
I think a lot of people are. I think that was very very in like 2015 to like yeah. 18, and now it's like slowly moving away. But
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now let's just do our a little bit of. Get to know our kind of background in real estate since it's been a year since we've talked about.
Yeah, and who
like
knew
this.
We would have a radio show? Honestly, I when we first got into business, I didn't really think much of radio, to be honest with you. And there's just a very select few that even provide a radio show as a service. And this is kind of what this mm-hmm. this show is. It's a service to you guys as our audience, but also mm-hmm. to our sellers and clients
yeah.
Because we're able to promote homes on air and we're able to just be on top of the real estate market because doing this week in, week out, we really have to educate ourselves. We can't just be blah, walk into a studio and just tell you the way it is. Mariah really does a great job with this show structure. So a lot of what we do is kind of Mariah, honestly. And so
thank
I'm
you.
Gonna say thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. We've learned a lot. Okay, so what is our background in real estate? We shared like on our first ever episode a whole story of this. So if you want to go back and check that out, you can find us on YouTube, search Real Estate with Mariah and Spence, or on the KYKN app or wherever you listen to podcasts as well. But just to keep it short, I got into real estate right out of high school. I started as a full-time solo agent, started working. I've been with the same company the whole time. I've been with Berkshire Hathaway. And a couple years after getting into the business, mm-hmm. Spencer jumped in and joined me. We were already married. And it's been great ever since.
I got to yeah. ask, you know, I want to go back again.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure I asked you that question back a year ago.
Uh-huh.
But here you are, 17, 18 years old, a young girl. Looking for something to do in life. What was it? Because there were lots of things you could have done and you're a bright lady, so you could have gone a lot of different directions. Why did you choose real estate, which is, you know, cold calling and it puts yeah. you completely out of your comfort zone? What happened?
You know, it was really random. I didn't grow up around like the real estate industry or know anyone. Like it wasn't even on my radar at all growing up or I probably would have wanted to do it because I love everything about it. But it was just suggested to me. My sister suggested it to me one day, like very randomly. And as soon as she said that, I just knew I was still in high school and I knew I was like, that's it. That I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I signed up for the course like a week later. I was about to turn 18. It was like January of my senior year. And then started taking the courses and I still didn't know anything like about it at the time. Like when she said that, I didn't even know what realtors did, but I just, the more I got to learn it, the more I loved the idea of it. And
so what were the comments when you went walking into the real estate office and you said, I want to sell for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you pick Berkshire just off the bat? I mean, how did you find them?
That was another thing. So they came into our real estate school and spoke. Someone mm-hmm. from there, like came in and talked to kind of like promote their brokerage. And as soon as they did, I knew as well, like that was where I wanted to go. I just had like a gut feeling, but I did interview a bunch of other places because that's what they say to do. But then after interviewing them, I still knew that's where I wanted to go.
Share the story about your first interview at Berkshire Hathaway, how that went.
I had an interview with our principal broker and she said, well, she didn't say anything after the interview. So I called like a week later and I was like, hey, I just wanted to know when I can come in and start. I'm ready. And because the other places I'd interviewed at, that's kind of how it worked. And so, but she said, you know, I actually wasn't going to give you a call back. I think you're just too young and I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think it's realistic for someone your age. And so I asked for another interview and I wrote down before I went in all the benefits of having me there being young and like,
love this.
Yeah, why the reasons why they should have me. And thankfully she gave me another shot and it was great. It's
so,
been awesome. Yeah,
so
I'm
Mariah, she's not bragging about herself a lot right now. So Byron Hendren, who
Hendricks,
excuse me, who what he did, he own the company at one point, and then he was just part
he's
of the franchise.
He's a great guy.
He's amazing. And usually, just about every sales meeting, he would say when it came to Mariah's time, when it came to awards or whatever the gross net or whatever incomes were for that month's sale, he would say Mariah, and then he would always say, this is the youngest real estate agent to start out in our office. I think to this day, I don't think there's been a younger agent starting in this market. So she was 18 and that's legal age, and she's the youngest hire at Berkshire Hathaway here in Salem, at least, which is quite
was at the time. I don't know, maybe not now,
but the other part of your story that I really love, Mariah, is you promised and paid off. I mean, you worked. I mean,
it
wasn't like you went in and stuck your foot in the water and said, oh, it's a little cold, and took it out. You stuck it in and it was cold and you just kept it in until it warmed up. It was you know, you were persistent, and I love that part of your story.
Thank you.
Because you it wasn't like you just went in and started selling. How long did it take you before you made your first sale?
Well, I got my first listing within about a month of getting of starting there, which is kind of early, but it was a lot of cold calling and door knocking.
This wasn't like mom or dad or a cousin or something.
No, it took me probably 3.5 years until I worked with a single person that was like friend, family member, because no one trusted me. And I don't blame, I mean, I was so young. And so I really had to work extra hard to prove myself first. So I had to work with people who didn't know me. So I did a lot of door knocking and cold calling, and that's how I got all my business at the time.
Can I poke you and just like have you relive that first listing of yours? Like that transaction, how'd it go? Just be honest. How the transaction itself went from close
from start to
close.
I knocked on the door and they weren't going to list it with anyone. And then they were trying to sell on their own. And so, but they let me come in. I talked to them and then I just kept bugging them until they were ready to list with me. I kept calling, door knocking, sending mail, all of that. And then they finally said, okay, we're going to interview agents. So they interviewed me and then along with a couple other agents. And I have no clue why they chose me, because I don't remember much about it, but I know the interview was terrible.
That's what I wanted to hear.
It was not good, but thankfully we got through it. I had a lot of help from my principal broker. I did a lot of calls. I mean, obviously learned a lot because it was my first transaction, but I still talk to those clients to this day. They're amazing people, and I'm so thankful they gave me a chance.
Okay, so the reason I wanted to bring up that story, though, is because as your first transaction as a realtor, it's scary, you're nervous, the interview doesn't go quite that well, but somehow you still get the job, just like you just said. But we had a backbone known as our principal broker, Sue Kurtz, that was so helpful and just so powerful in these transactions. Whenever we had a question or concern from our seller, if we didn't know the answer, we can always go to that principal broker. And that's why Berkshire Hathaway, especially in Salem, in this office, is so special to us, and why we stick there because of the knowledge and information that we get to provide for our clients throughout the whole transaction from beginning to end. And that is huge. That's a huge
really
value
really
to get a transaction closed.
Wow. What a way to go into a break, huh? All right. You're listening to Real Estate with Mariah Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. And Spence, we were talking about Mariah and how she got into the business. Now, were you married with Mariah when you decided to get into the business? Were you already married?
Yeah. We had been married, 2 years now? Probably or a year and a half at least.
The business. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Somewhere around there. It'd been
We had gotten married. We bought a place in Northeast Salem. We were doing Airbnb with that. I was actually working in upholstery as well, up in the Portland metro area, for probably two and a half years. And then, you know, I was just wanting life change for the most part, and it just really wasn't something that I wanted to continue to do. And Mariah just says, how about you join me? Why not? And so
I started to get a lot busier too and really needed some help. And so it kind of just made sense, bringing you on. And
so you could take the tasks, you know, and we could multiply them exponentially. Mm-hmm. And that's a serious conversation we had to have as, in a sense, newlyweds. And so I started going to real estate school nights and I passed that test. And we joined the team, and then we created, just shortly afterwards, Vetrus Crawford Realty. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I have noticed is the unique qualities and characteristics we bring out in each other, while working with all kinds of clients. It can be through a manufactured home. It can be a regular residential sale. It could be million-dollar properties. Mariah's dealt with those. So it's really fun to get a talk to everybody. And that's something that I've learned. And also in my past job is just people are people. And if you show up to work every day and be consistent and persistent, you're going to get the results. And so it's just like showing up to the office every day. That was a biggie for me when I first got started, because realistically, cool, you passed your test, you're a new real estate broker, but now what? There was really nothing just on a plate for me or handed, and I couldn't just eat it all and get really full. I had to really work for my meals, and that was showing up to the office for me and doing cold calling, door knocking, whatever. And it took me, I think, 3-4 months to even get my first listing, which we say this so often. People jump into the business thinking it's just all rainbows and roses, and it's hard, you know. It's a dog-eat-dog world, honestly, because you're calling individuals, they're getting 10 times that call. Well, how are you going to stand out that's different than anybody else? And that's just something about my background and just being involved with sports, football, wrestling, and baseball, that has just been instilled in me and just part of my life. And that's why I think the game is real estate for me, and that's why we really clicked to do this business together.
You're both people. That's what I like about you, is you're easy to talk to, you're smart, engaged, and the other thing that I like is you really care.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that stands out too.
Thank you.
Is that
Thank
really
you.
Caring. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Join us next Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. Now, you can contact Mariah Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group at 503-507-3666. That number again, 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.